Welcome to the Unexplained with You World.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Unexplained with You World. I am your host, Yuman, and along with me today are both of my podcast pals. We got Waltman.
Hello, everyone.
We got Elle.
Hello, beautiful people in podcast land.
Elle, thank you for joining us this week. We missed you last week.
We miss you.
I missed you guys, too. I just want to say, after editing your last episode, that who was right about Dragon? Thank you. Thank you very much.
She's starting.
In your face. Who was right?
Okay. First of all, you watched the segment. You just were not able to participate last week. So you knew this, but you wanted to share it on the mic anyways.
I did. Validation.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
Hold on. I'm trying to unroll my eyes because they got like stuck a little bit.
I called it.
I know, but.
She's starting me to bang.
Hold on. Walter, can you hand me some eye drops so I can unroll them back?
I'll just knock your head and then I'll roll them back.
Wow.
Let me call our agent.
Yeah. Get us some Visine. Hello.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you, Elle. It's always a pleasure to have you back with us, so I appreciate that.
Welcome back.
So we're still on the Skinwalker Ranch, and we are on episode 6, and this one's called Poking the Nest. That says a lot. I think that's in reference to what Dr. Travis Taylor said earlier on. Was it his grandmother or his mother said, you poke the hornet's nest and see what happens type thing. So I'm thinking it's reference to what he said when he was a child. So this episode brings back Eric Bard, who again is a principal investigator, Dr. Jim Segala, the scientist, Caleb Bench, he's a security, Thomas Winterton, ranch superintendent, Bryant Dragon Arnold, head of security. We got Brandon Fugo, owner of the ranch, Tom Lewis and his girlfriend Candace Lindy, both ranch caretakers, are back for this episode, and good old Jim Morse, the ranch manager, is actually in this episode. I like Jim. I do. I feel that he's like a old, rugged, like an uncle that I would have, you know? Just like someone that just have like a great barbecue and have great story to tell.
I totally agree with you.
Right?
Yes.
Very down to earth, very humble guy, I can tell. All right, so let's dive in. You both ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Let's rock and roll. All right, so this show starts off in a very strange manner. They start installing all kinds of security cameras. Why? Well, they've already seen all kinds of light anomalies, UFOs, beam of lights, radiation anomalies, cows acting strange. That's the one that always throws me off. When animals act strange, you know there's something weird going on, right? Then again, they switch to where the cattle are at after they show all the different cameras. And what are the cattle doing again? They're huddled up in a small part of the ranch. They have all this space and they'd rather stay in that particular spot. I'm wondering if that's the spot they're like fighting for position or there's not a lot of energy going to that specific spot that they're in that they want to move as tight as possible to get away from the other stuff they feel.
Like the radiation and the frequency?
Or some kind of unknown forces.
Oh.
I think the cows are trying to avoid some sort of higher frequency, like
it could
radiation.
Be, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because they're all huddled up.
Yeah. So this episode, as we know, the Skinwalker Ranch, they've always been bringing different companies to verify levels of radiation, different aspects if it's harmful to humans. So in this episode, they invite a gentleman by the name of Casey Smith, and he's from a company known as Qualtech. I think I said it right. Is it Qualtech?
Qualtech?
Qualtech, right? Because it's Q-A-L. I literally wrote it Qual-T-E-K. So they brought him back to reevaluate Homestead 2 along with Dr. Jim Segala. They go together and they investigate the levels of radiation. And this part is what's interesting to me. They go, the first place is where, remember the previous episode, Dr. Travis Taylor had that experience where he had high levels of radiation. And what did Mr. Casey Smith detect on his devices?
Zero.
Nothing.
How do you go from very high levels, dangerous high levels? In fact, if my memory serves me right, 20,000 x-ray scans at an airport, that's exactly what Dr. Travis Taylor gave that example of what it would have felt like, what he experienced. So how do you go from that to zero?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
In fact, Dr. Jim Segala went And he was even puzzled because he was right there when Travis Taylor got exposed.
Yeah, he was telling him, like, check this and check the nails and check the well. And they were all surprised that they were picking up nothing.
Nothing. It's like they're toying with them like a cat and mouse game. I'm like, what is happening?
It's like calculated, right? Like, let's turn this off, turn it on.
Yeah, exactly. If it's like if this light switch in this studio we have is turned off, and turned on, right? That's what they're doing. They're like deciding, like, let's show them this today. Let's not show them this tomorrow. So I'm really interested to know more about what's going on there. In this episode, they bring some new animals. And Elle, you love these kind of animals. Who did they bring to the ranch?
They brought two alpacas, and they're so cute.
And let me tell you, Elle loves alpacas because earlier this year,
up in Hesperia, we met an alpaca named Cinnamon.
Yeah.
Just wanted to share.
I like that name.
I know. And her fur was like brown, like cinnamon, like a cinnamon stick.
Yeah. Which was interesting because when we saw that, I was like, oh, we've seen alpacas literally up close and personal, which is interesting.
Yeah. I got excited when they brought the two alpacas because I was like, oh, it's like Cinnamon.
What's interesting, they wanted to bring this type of exotic animal because they actually used that term on the episode. Because they wanted to see if they react the same way as cow or group of cattle respond to this environment. Because it's a ranch. They put them in an area where they're secured. Candace, Lindy, and Tom Lewis went on camera and said they want to experience bizarre events. Hmm. Is that a foreshadow, you guys?
That's what they asked for.
Yeah.
Without saying too much, because we're going to get into it. Do you think they experienced bizarre events in this episode?
I mean, ask and you shall receive, right?
I feel you with that.
So, I also like it that in the same episode, after that, they invited a very amazing person by the name of Larry Cespuch. Walter, tell us a little bit about Larry Cespuch.
Larry Cespuch is a local youth leader. He's very spiritual. And he's very familiar, actually, with all the UFO anomalies in the ranch. I really like when he said that Skinwalker Ranch is like a funnel or a portal.
And he said, and it's not of this earth.
I was going to add on that as well, Al, but you beat me to it because that was a very intriguing statement when he shared that. I love the fact that he was there to help give a different perspective. In fact, Dr. Travis Taylor, being a scientist, he even said he is open for any type of explanation that can help give answers to what is going on. I like when they go back in time or they show like a cut of a previous conversation like with Brandon Fugel. He reminds us of the curse involving the Navajo and the Ute. Walter, you're a history guy. Tell us about that curse.
Okay. According to my research,
I like it.
Actually, the animosity between the Ute and the Navajo started during the Civil War because the Ute sided with the U.S. government, meaning that they sold most of the Navajo's land. So the Navajo tribes were expelled from their land, the Skinwalker Ranch. And what is a Skinwalker? A Skinwalker is essentially a witch that has chosen to put on skin of animals. It could be wolves, it could be ravens, and they're hairy, they move very fast, and red eyes. Remember from the past episode, you know, they one of the persons saw like red eyes.
Jim Morris, remember? He's my guy.
At the Mesa, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you say they put on skin of an animal, I picture like a really rich woman at a party with a fur coat on.
Like Cruella de Vil, that type of thing.
Well, yeah. You brought up Disney, but thank you very much.
I know. Disney. I can't help it. That's all my references are Disney.
I know, and I am too, but I didn't want to say it because, you know.
So that the listeners know. Like Cruella de Vil.
Yeah. And I was also thinking about like the housewife of New York, you know. Like,
oh, see?
Very big fur and stuff.
Uh-huh. Botox.
Mm-hmm. Saying, darling. That's what I was thinking.
That was a good accent.
Thank you. Yeah. See?
Yeah, I'm just trying to like absorb this as the host, and I'm just looking at them like,
okay. It's hard to stop. Where does everyone summer?
That's from France. Yeah. That was actually spot on.
From what?
From Friends.
Yeah, no, thank you. all right. So then the curse was born, right? I love how Mr. Larry Cespuch stated that before any disturbances on the earth, so any digging, there should be a tribal blessing. And I think that's amazing because nowadays we have no respect for the land around us, animals, or nature in general. So I think that was a very positive attribute for him to mention and to bring forth. And he started by laying down tobacco and he did a spiritual prayer in the Ute language, which was amazing. If I knew the Ute language, I would translate it.
So Larry Sespuch, when he's doing the blessing, he does mention to help these men who want to know what is happening on the land, help us. And then he lays down the tobacco and he thanks the creator and all the good spirits. And then he says to all the scientists, he says, basically, like, if your equipment starts malfunctioning, take that as a sign that you should stop and they don't want you to continue. So basically, get your shit and get out.
I love how she just cut to the chase at the end.
Yeah, that's basically what he's saying.
That's awesome, Mel. Thank you for being straightforward. You see, Walma, this is what we missed last week, right?
I know.
I mean, you and I have a great dynamic, but when she's here, she throws in her 2 cents and and then she adds dynamic to the also already dynamite we have. And it's just, it's amazing.
Thanks.
So they invited another company. I mean, all these kind of companies, they probably love being on camera because, you know, they get to go and promote their business. So Snowshoe Engineering show up with this big drill. Remember, it's a huge commercial drill. And immediately before they're going to start drilling, who decides that they don't want to be part of this at all?
Tom
Winterton.
Yeah. We'll get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, because of 2 incidents in the same area of his head. I would not even be near that ranch at that point, but
man,
he's a brave man. I respect him.
Yeah, if I was Tom, I'd walk out too. I'd be like, all right, you all can handle this. Tom out. Peace sign out.
There you go.
You know, I think probably his wife is tired of taking him to the hospital and also his colleagues there on the ranch. In fact, probably when he gets to the emergency room, they're like, oh, Tom's back. Let's go ahead and sit him in his normal area because right? It seems like he goes to the emergency room quite a bit on the Skinwalker Ranch here. All right. As you start drilling, and by the time they hit the 17th foot down, they hit silt stone. I'm not a geologist, so I can't really explain it.
Okay, so I did some research on this because I was curious. Is silt stone exceptionally hard stone or mineral? Not exactly sure what everything means, but let me just lay it out because maybe one of our listeners knows. So siltstone, it says it is hard and durable and does not easily split into thin particles or layers. On the Mohs scale, the scale for hardness for minerals, it's a 6 or 7 on the scale. So a 1 would be talc, and then a 10 in hardness is a diamond. So 6 or 7, I'm assuming that's pretty hard, right?
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just throw that out there because once the drill hit the siltstone, it stopped, right?
Yeah, correct. So that's when they decided to move to the very famous Homestead 2. And this is a part where it's very interesting. When the drill goes into the ground, Dr. Travis Taylor immediately senses something or turns around, he's like, what's that? And the telephone poles are like shaking, moving, almost like it's an earthquake. But Walt, man, off mic, you said something. What did you think that might have happened there?
Well, I was thinking that they could have done something like the set, the producer or something, right?
They're like, rock that. Uh-huh. Rock it. Rock that telephone pole for the drama.
Right? It's possible, right?
It could be, yeah.
I don't know. I feel that there might be some legitimate situation, but I can see why you would think that. Just to add show, right, to the show?
Definitely, like for ratings.
Yeah.
Tip it. Like, tip. Wow. Tip the phone pole.
There's something else.
Make it move.
You see why I'm the shy one of the group?
Whatever, false.
That's not true.
Wow. So
they're going to get confused. They're going to think that's me. That was Walter that said that.
That was Walt Mann who said that. Not L.
I'm a skinwalker. I can change voices.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I knew there was something to Walter. I knew it.
You knew it?
Mm-hmm.
He's special, though.
Well, yeah. You knew years. What I did last summer, so.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Oh, okay. It's a secret.
There you go. So then they complete the drilling, right? And then the next morning, about 7 a.m., the alpacas started yelling, screaming, making very loud noises. Now, what's bizarre is alpacas are what, Elle?
They're not very vocal.
Yeah.
They're kind of silent.
And that's when it drew a lot of bizarre questions, like, what's happening? Here's another thing. And what's more interesting is now on the ranch, like I mentioned earlier, they put cameras everywhere. And they have one specific camera that is aimed towards the alpaca so they can monitor their safety at all times. But what happens to the camera, Waltman?
Well, all of a sudden, it wasn't working.
And that's when you start hearing the noises, the screaming, the yelling.
Like that or something?
Yeah. No, I swear to God. That was pretty good.
Yeah. You scared me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Me by surprise. That was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Was not expecting an alpaca to be here. But thank you.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
The only camera that was actually working that could even see vaguely what was happening was a camera on top of Dr. Travis Taylor's trailer. Try saying that 10 times.
I know. You did a good job.
Thank you. I practiced for like hours.
Good job.
Thank you. It's very, very stressful saying that one. But so Tom Lewis and Candace Lindy are the ones who saw. They didn't just hear that whole scuffle going on. They stated they saw some dog-looking animals trying to eat the alpacas alive that same morning when all that other sounds, and you kind of put the whole story together. Seeing Tom and Candace, it looked like they were shaken by what they saw because they didn't know really how to describe it other than like a dog-like creature, but even that was not a fair description of what they really saw.
Because when they went out there to go protect the llamas, whatever that dog
They have llamas now, huh?
Oh, shoot.
I just want to let everyone know. So they have, apparently they have llamas and cattle.
Is a llama a cousin of an alpaca?
We've talked about that. I believe they are. I think.
My bad.
Yeah, I think they are actually related. They look similar. Why don't we look that up?
But you know, also too, like I always call it Skywalker Ranch. So this is not a surprise.
Come on, guys. It's funny because you tease me about when I call it the table for whatever reason a few episodes ago.
La mesa. The table.
I know, it's so funny. I just love how you said the llamas. But go ahead,
I'm sorry. The alpacas. No, I forgot what I was saying.
The camel.
We're just going to graduate in size.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. You did that, right? Alpacas are smaller than llamas and then camels. There you go. You're going to say about that's why the alpacas?
And I forgot, guys. Someone else's turn. Okay. I forfeit my turn.
Right. We'll come back to you. But that's when Tom and Candace call a vet, but he's lived there for 40 years. He's seen a lot, and as he's treating the alpacas, he doesn't even seem, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but he seemed like, oh, it's just another weird, strange occurrence here at the Skinwalker Ranch. He's taking care of these poor animals. He didn't even ask, oh my God, what attacked them? I think he was used to it because Tom and Candace asked him, has he ever seen anything strange in the past? And he mentioned he knew the Shermans. And he mentioned that the reason they left was because they were very scared to be there.
He mentioned the story of one of the cows that he treated. He said that one of the cows was missing their tail, as if it was maybe they cut off or chewed off, and it was found in another location in the field. He said it, though, so nonchalantly, like he was very unfazed by it.
That's what I'm saying. And he's treating the alpacas, right? He's just literally, you know, treating the wounds. I think he's like shaving off the hair to make sure he can get on the whole wounds. And he's saying, like, yeah, no big deal. I've seen this before. So I was like, wow, okay. Also, the video, though, that they did review when they went back to the command center, the one that they were able to catch from Dr. Travis Taylor's trailer, holla, 2 for 2 on it, camera, is enough that I believe I saw what Dragon saw. In fact, when Dragon say, stop the video right there. Look at that. Look at what is attacking them right there. And then they highlight it. I saw it, but you guys have a different perception on it. So, Elle, go ahead.
I couldn't tell what was attacking the alpaca. I believe something was. And they were like, oh, it looks like a dog. But it took me a while, and I had to replay it over and over. And I honestly don't see a dog or anything attacking.
No, I second the motion to that. I didn't see anything.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. It was to me, it was not very clear. So I don't know.
But neither of you saw that black kind of figure, like shift around and jump on one alpaca and then kind of go down and then like, you see it pop up again?
Maybe the footage is not very clear.
Well, because it was further away than that main camera that went down, right? During that time, which is a coincidence, right? That it malfunctioned.
I know. What are the odds? I don't know about that. Like, what are the odds that one of their high-tech cameras, clear, high-definition cameras, fails? Come on now.
Could it be stage?
See, and you're going back to that, huh? You think so? Okay. Well, that's how the segment ends in this particular episode. And it leaves you on that cliffhanger trying to figure out what was at that attack. These poor alpacas. They did move them, but they moved them to a more secure area. I don't know what that means. They didn't show exactly where they moved them. But Dr. Travis Taylor mentions that it could have been worse if Tom and Candace could have also been injured. Not only could these things have killed the alpacas, but it could have maybe injured and killed Tom and Candace. They were not sure what happened. They were like in this shock and were trying to grasp onto what happened earlier on that morning. So
they're probably just still processing what happened.
Yeah. I mean, they wanted bizarre events to happen. Well, welcome to the Skinwalker Ranch, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So for all our listeners, our question of the week is the digging related or a coincidence to the alpacas being attacked?
Because they said, don't dig.
Don't dig. And then this weird, strange thing happens. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave it out to our listeners to see what they think. They can post their comments. But let's go over our whoa and no moments for this particular episode. And then we'll get into our ratings. Elle, you weren't here last week. Can we start with you with our whoa moment?
Yes. My whoa moment is definitely the alpacas getting attacked. Just because, I mean, I know that I didn't see necessarily what attacked them. They said it looked like dogs of various sizes, but it was surprising that the alpacas made that sound like Walter demonstrated earlier.
Dude, that's freaking awesome.
That's my whoa moment.
Whoa moment!
It's my turn. My whoa moment is the inclusion of Larry Sespuch, a tribal leader, very spiritual. It's actually kind of refreshing to see a Native American perspective on the Skinwalker Ranch, because I believe that they should know a lot more, because this is their ancestral's land, you know? So I really like that part, the prayers, the blessings, you know, I love that part. That's my whole moment.
And definitely, because they mention the Ute tribe quite a bit, right? When related to what the Navajo had in connection with them and the curse being brought on and all that. All right.
I agree. It was good that they got an indigenous person's perspective on that. So, respect. Respect to that.
For me, I have two whoa moments. My first one is the telephone poles and the line shaking. I know, Walt, man, you were like, was it staged? I don't know. I think it was something to do with the ranch. Let's be honest. That ranch has so many strange and bizarre things happening on a regular basis. I feel that was the land upset because they were digging and feeling like they were disturbing, so they're trying to get their attention. I really believe that. My second one was, I have to go with L, the alpaca is being attacked, because that sound, go ahead. Thank you. Hearing that, you know, I mean, oh my God. Hearing that, that was so hilarious. If you guys would see his face, he just puts a lot of emphasis and feeling into that.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah.
He channeled the alpaca.
He did, right? The pain that the poor things were feeling.
Do I get, like, a raise?
I mean, we are not getting paid anything, so I have a penny for you.
Why do you have to ruin it for me? Yes, right. We're not getting paid.
Yet. Boom.
I love that.
Thank you. I know.
So let's move on to our no moments.
My no moment is when the alpacas got hurt. I got sad. I mean,
I see what you did there. Our woe, your no. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
They're similar, right? They're similar in what we perceive, but you're like, no, that shouldn't happen.
Because I didn't see, I don't know, some sort of animal that attacking the alpacas. So, I don't know. If it was staged, I would be so mad right now, because
I don't think it was, so.
Yeah. Every time we cue it up, I'm going to love that. That should be like...
It should be like a sound bite.
Yeah. Just keep it. Yeah. I agree. I love that, dude. What about you, Elle? What about any no moments you have?
My no moment is the fact that they didn't find a freaking UFO underneath the ground of Homestead 2. That pissed me off. They hyped that up so freaking much that, oh, it's saucer-shaped. Oh, it's football-shaped. And, you know, they lead you, they pushed it hard. Like, oh, it's a UFO. So I'm like, yeah, man, it's a fucking UFO. No, it was not a UFO. Disappointed. I was disappointed.
I wish Elle was more descriptive of how she feels sometimes about her no moment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You just won your case, Elle Woods.
Thank you. Thank you.
My no moment actually kind of aligns with Elle's. The digging. I didn't go anywhere. It's like they hyped it up. I'm thinking, oh my God, are they going to hit some kind of metallic thing, object, whatever.
I wanted a damn ground. UFO saucer. Like, I wanted a UFO saucer. Because Bigelow, the former owner, was like, yeah, there's saucers and there's an underground bunker like, or something like a, underneath. Like tunnels, right? Mm-hmm. Like a, yeah. Everything's classified for some reason. I thought it was going to be a UFO.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I think we agreed on that one. And Elle and I don't always agree on things. Just want to put it out there.
That's true.
Ratings. Elle, let's start with you. What's your rating on this one?
4. I just give it a 4.
Remember, we're going to break it down for our listeners. 1 being boring, explained, success. 5 being,
oh, okay.
What the fuck? Totally unexplained, right? So you gave it a 4. You're up there.
Yeah, I'm up there.
Waltman.
I'll give it a 4.
And he sang it for us. Thank you, Waltman.
That was good, man.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You both agreed on a 4. I think that's the first time both of you agreed. You've always been close.
Walter's usually
pretty
harsh.
She copied me. She looked up my notes earlier.
You know what? I agree with her. Waltman, you're usually harsh. Like, one of the ratings, I think, was a...
What's a...
2 weeks ago? Yeah. Was it? It was a, it was a 1. And we looked at him like, dude, that's...
We're like, damn.
That's fucked up.
Well, because I had a lot of beer then.
Waltman, you gave it a 4. Elle, you gave it a 4. Miraculously, we're all on the same page. I gave it a 4. This is the first time all three of us agree on the rating. This, we're making some progress here.
Yeah.
Wow.
This Woo-hoo! Is like historic.
Yeah, we've never agreed on that. Well, I want to thank all of our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this segment of The Unexplained with You World.
We thank you so much for listening. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
Especially with these two crazy podcasts. I know, it's true.
No, seriously. We thank you. Please keep coming back. Please keep listening.
On behalf of my podcast pals, Waltman and Elle, I'm Yuman. And remember, your life starts and ends with you. That's a wrap. Mm-hmm.